You're listening to audio from Grace Community Church in Anger, North Carolina. More information about Grace Community Church can be found at graceccnc.org.
Amen. I too have that thin coat of pollen in my throat everywhere, so I have my water bottle if needed. Welcome. My name is Ricky. I serve as one of the pastors here at Grace. I'm grateful to be preaching this morning. Pastor Brad is out this week and next week, so Pastor David's going to be preaching next week. He's with family doing some things, some children, grown children who live out of town, so he's with them over the next couple of weeks. But I'm grateful to be here with you all this morning. Couple things I want to mention to you before we get going is that we had a huge event this weekend called Merge that our students participated in. So they're all going to be here second service. So you guys pick the right service to come to because it's going to be packed. I think we had close to 80 people involved in Merge just from our church. It was a few hundred people over at a church in Apex, Triangle Community Church. So I think it's probably about 12 churches together come together for a weekend, and there's worship and there's teaching at TCC, and then they go back home and they stay overnights and in the homes and discuss the sermons and such. So they're going to be here next service with their shirts. I got to participate. I've got my Merge pullover on that I received. So I was blessed to be able to teach yesterday in a breakout session. So in addition to the pollen, I talked for 2.5 hours yesterday to students, which typically involves screaming at times too, which I will not be screaming tonight or today, hopefully, Lord willing. So, but we'll see if my voice makes it through to the end. I'm sure that it will. And I also want to mention to you all, one of our beloved brothers, Lee Newton, is now with the Lord. As you all probably saw on Church Center, we've been praying for him. I sat in his living room back in November, and he's been having a hard time. And I wrote down on my prayer list that day, it's been there for quite a few months now, what he told me, and that is he is ready to see Jesus. And now that is his reality. He is with Jesus. His wife, Marisol, she has family in Puerto Rico, and they will be coming in, Lord willing, for the funeral. So there's a bit of delay on just figuring out the plans. Those will likely all be made today, depending on when family can get here. And then I'll post that on Church Center so that you all can come and participate in the funeral. So as Pastor Brad has mentioned and reminds me that men such as Lee Newton should be honored. He, whether you knew him or not, was an incredible man. He loved the Lord. Many of you would recognize him if you didn't know his name. He sat back here in the corner. He pastored for over 20 years, pastored five churches, both full-time and bivocational. He had quite an impact in the kingdom. So even pastored at Rawls, that was, I think, his last church down the road. So Lee Newton, anyway, with the Lord, more details to follow on his funeral coming up this week, I'm sure. Well, this morning, Psalm 36, you can see that's our text for this morning's sermon, Psalm 36. And as is our custom here at Grace, I'm going to ask you to stand. So a bit of aerobics, a bit of exercise. You get to stand up and down throughout the service. This is the last time you have to stand until we sing at the end. So after this, you can settle in. But we're going to read Psalm 36 in its entirety, as those 12 verses are our text this morning. So Psalm 36, hear the word of the Lord. To the choir master of David, the servant of the Lord. Transgression speaks to the wicked. Deep in his heart, there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flatters himself in his own eyes that his iniquity cannot be found out and hated. The words of his mouth are trouble and deceit. He has ceased to act wisely and do good. He plots trouble while on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not reject evil. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mountains of God. Your judgments are like the great deep. Man and beast you save, O Lord. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. Oh, continue your steadfast love to those who know you, and your righteousness to the upright of heart. Let not the foot of arrogance come upon me, nor the hand of the wicked drive me away. There the evildoers lie fallen. They're thrust down, unable to rise. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let me just pray for us. Take a moment to pray for us, if you don't mind. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, be with us this morning as we look at these glorious truths. Oh, Father, help us comprehend the incredible reality of your greatness, of your steadfast love. Lord, let us take an honest look at our lives. Lord, may we be found to be the upright. Lord, those who take refuge in the shadow of your wings. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, this morning, Psalm 36, I feel like this text is a bit of a roller coaster, meaning it's kind of extreme whenever we read Psalm 36. And I mean, you see, we start off, we're going to go back through it here verse by verse with the wicked. And then we go up to this goodness of the Lord. I mean, it's a bit up and down and you can get some whiplash, but we're just going to take this this Psalm verse by verse and work our way through the whole thing. We're going to look at it chunks at a time. We're going to look at verses 1 through 4, and then verses 5 and 6, verses 7 through 9, and then 10 through 12. So it's all going to be on the screen. You don't have to write that down. I'll go ahead and apologize. The first 4 verses on the screen are very small, so I didn't have time to, or I wasn't able to make them bigger and make it all fit and work out, but I trust, hopefully, you'll be able to see. If not, you have a copy of the scriptures, I hope, in your lap that you can take a look at. But it's a bit of a roller coaster in that we begin with David taking a look at the depths of wickedness. And then he goes from that straight out of the gate, up an incline to the highest peaks of God's goodness. And then he lets us ride the momentum back down after that, and we drop into the heart of God directly, seeing what it looks like as we live a life for God. And then we see a loop approaching, and as we approach the loop, the scariest point, we'll find that God remains faithful, and he will carry us all the way to the end. And then the psalm's going to wrap up where it began, taking one more look at the wicked. So David, in this psalm, he describes 2 types of people. David, he's going to describe at the very beginning the wicked. The wicked, that's those who ignore God, those who live for themselves. And then we're also going to see those who are upright. We're going to see those who take refuge in the Lord. Those are the ones that are protected, that are provided for. While the wicked, they're the ones who are ultimately going to end up being defeated. But what I want you to see in Psalm 36 this morning is that in living in dependence on God, that is the only way to provision and protection in God. So I'll say that again. Living in dependence on God, that is the only way, the only way to provision and protection in God. How can we live in such dependence? How can we receive such provision? How can we receive such protection in God? Well, it is only through the steadfast love of God that we'll see listed 3 of those stanzas right there at the top. It begins off with, David says, the steadfast love of God. We can't miss that. How are these things? How can they be? What is our hope? The steadfast love of God. So let's work our way back through the text this morning, beginning with the first part of verse 1. Psalm 36, verse 1 begins with saying, transgression speaks to the wicked deep in his heart. Now I'm going to pause real quick. Hope that's not too small. Sorry, guys. I tried to bold it so it may be a little better. But right here, the first part of the verse, I want to stop and point out, if you're looking at an ESV, that's what I have up on screen. But if you're not looking at an ESV, you might have a bit of a different translation. If you have an ESV, you probably notice a footnote there. And if you track it down, that footnote's going to tell you that most Hebrew manuscripts, they say that the Hebrew manuscripts, most of them say the transgression speaks to the wicked deep in my heart. So some translations, such as the NIV, say, I have a message from God in my heart concerning the sinfulness of the wicked. Some may say an oracle of God considering the wickedness. So which one is exactly right? Which one? I'm going to give you my answer. I don't know. I have no idea. I'm not really sure. So I read all the different ones. I am not sure which one is right. Theologians I greatly respect and that I follow, they have differing takes on this and commentary, and I am content to say I don't know. But I do find it helpful to approach this text, as many do, in saying why this clearly describes the wicked. We can all agree on that. I also think it would be unwise to not consider its warning, though, for all of us, because I know there are times in my life I too hear a voice tempting me, even still as a follower of Christ, to do wicked things. So we all need to be honest whenever it comes to our nature, whenever it comes to our struggle with sin. We have to be honest about that. We all sin because we are all in Adam. And Adam and Eve sinned against God. And we are from Adam and Eve. Therefore, we have an inherited sin nature that comes all the way from them. Sinners by birth. That's us. Therefore, we should always be aware of how easily tempted we are to sin. None of us are immune from that inner voice, however you look at it, from verse 1. So here again, verse 1, transgression speaks to the wicked deep in his heart. There is no fear of God before his eyes. This is scary. What we see here is we see a life lived out without giving any awareness or consideration to the existence of God. Maybe you know someone like this. Maybe you might even be able to recall a time when you were like this. I hope not, but maybe even some of you in here this morning, maybe this is where you are, or you're close to being there. But if we believe that God exists, then I believe that that belief has to have an impact on our lives. I don't know how you can believe that the God of the Bible exists and that he is the God of the Bible and he not have an impact on your life. I believe there's one way to not fear God, and that is to not acknowledge him or to take him into account. Maybe that's been you. Maybe you know someone. Again, maybe you that is close to being you. You live your life in a way in which you don't acknowledge God or you don't take him into account. Whether David means the wicked aren't scared of God, or whether David means that the wicked don't respect God, either way, I know both of these are true if they don't even consider God, if they're not aware of God. Many live their lives not considering God. Now, I'm almost 40 years old. This year, I turned 40 years old in September. And even still, when I go back home and I sit in my parents' living room and my dad comes up the stairs and he walks into the living room and I'm sitting in the recliner, you know what I do? I get up and I go and I sit down on the couch. Why? Because I consider my dad. Whether I was taught to get up because I fear him or if I was taught to get up because I respect him, I don't know. I can't remember, but I happily get up because that's my dad. And where does he belong? In the recliner that's in the living room. That's his chair because I consider him. Whenever it comes to the wicked and to God, there's no considering God. They only live for themselves, what they want. That's what guides them and directs them. Verse 2, speaking of the wicked, David says, for he flatters himself in his own eyes, that his iniquity cannot be found out and hated. Verse 2 shows us the wicked, they are so self-consumed that they can't even see reality. But they're okay with not seeing reality because it serves their purposes. They're okay with not seeing reality. They actually write their own narrative to define their reality. And they're completely content with that. They catechize themselves because, well, it allows them to be the hero or it allows them to be the victim, whichever one it is that will most serve their purpose in the moment. They lie to themselves. That's the wicked. Verse 3 says, the words of his mouth are trouble and deceit. He has ceased to act wisely and to do good. So we start to see in verse 3 that the wicked, their behavior and their thoughts, well, it just doesn't affect only them, but it actually works itself outside of them to where others can see and hear it too, and it begins to have an effect on others. You see, sooner or later, whatever it is you think, it's going to work its way out into the way you act. We see in verse 3, the wicked, they once, though, acted wisely. They once did good. But be warned, our thoughts, they aren't harmless. And in the case of the wicked, they will spill out into our lives and they will cause trouble and deceit. Be warned, our sin, even if it's our thoughts, never just affect us. Private sin will always have a public impact eventually. Be warned. about the wicked. Verse 4, he plots trouble while on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not reject evil. That last part, he does not reject evil. Whew. That's scary. Verse 4 shows us a wicked person becomes so content living life without God that they will become abandoned to doing evil. Even so much that they will lie in bed and they will think of more ways to do evil. They've been given over to where they no longer resist evil. They've actually become unaware of this reality about themselves. It's just become who they are. They've abandoned God. They don't consider God. They ignore God to the point that they no longer reject evil. They are unaware of God. Guys, this is like the depths. Like, these are what I feel like are some hopeless, hopeless verses. These are difficult verses, these first four verses. But I want you to know that the wicked are consumed with themselves. Summary, we look at these four verses. The wicked, they are consumed with themselves. Now, I told you that this psalm was a bit of a roller coaster. Okay, this psalm's a bit of a roller coaster. And as with most roller coasters, you begin on like seemingly ground level, right? I mean, maybe you're up a flight of stairs or something, but you begin on seemingly ground level. And we're low, ground level here, like looking at these four verses. But hang on. Remember, I told you this psalm's a bit of a roller coaster. Whiplash warning, all right? So we're on ground level. The teenager behind the booth just giving his spill. The things are all latched. He said, train's ready for departure, and we're starting to roll out. Here we go. Now, this isn't one of those roller coasters that just click, 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 click all the way up to the top. This is like when April and I first got married years and years ago, we went to one of the Disney places, and they had this rock and roller coaster, Aerosmith. And I remember that thing, you got in and it pulled up and it stopped. And then before you knew it, it shot out of up a tunnel and you were gone. I mean, it was wild. I wasn't ready for it. This is one of those type roller coasters. David doesn't give us much of a warning. He goes from the depths of the wickedness, and then he's just going to shoot us out of the tunnel straight up to the heights of God. And I'm very grateful, because after dwelling in these four verses, man, we need some hope. So let's go soar in verses 5 and 6 of chapter 36. Verse 5 says, your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mountains of God. Your judgments are like the great deep. Man and beast you save, O Lord. Wow. Man, I could wade around in these verses for a while, or maybe to stick with the imagery, soar around in these verses for a while. David, he has shown us how depraved and low man can be, and now he's saying, you buckled up, let's go, and I'm gonna show you how high and mighty God is. There's a bit of quite the contrast here. And the idea isn't that David's showing us how big God is so that we can say, wow, he's inaccessible. No. He's not showing us that God isn't accessible. He's not trying to show us that God is actually out of reach. But David's saying, no matter how low you may feel or however low they may be, I want you to see that nothing or no one is outside of the reach of God. There's not one point that you are outside of the reach of God. The point is not for you to think that God's steadfast love is out of reach, but the point is for you to know that you aren't out of the reach of God's steadfast love. This is marvelous. This is glorious hope. David, he has now propelled us into the realm of God's glorious reality, and he's saying, open your eyes now. Look around. You can open your eyes and take this all in. I remember Pastor Brad and I were going to a conference down in, I think, Orlando one time, and we were in an airplane, and there was this cloud out in the sky there, and I'm always the guy looking out the window. So if I'm not next to the window, then I'm the guy you think staring at you, but I'm really just trying to look out the window. And there was this big cloud, and I remember our plane just kind of flew around this cloud, it seemed like. Like, I felt like you could just reach out and touch it. It was just floating there, and we're floating around it. It's amazing. I don't fly much, as you could probably tell. It's amazing. But it's like David's saying, open your eyes and just look at this. As we're soaring around this beautiful truth of God. He's saying God's faithfulness is without any limits. Wow. Man, that is good news for me, and I trust this good news for you. He's saying God is completely and absolutely faithful. David's saying, I want you to look up. I want you to look down. David's saying, I want you to look side to side. There is nothing, there is no going beyond the capability of God to save. David's saying, you can trust in this mighty God who will always do right, because he will. He will always do right. If one is wrong, it will not be us. It will be us, it will not be him if one is wrong. God is always fair and just. David's saying, I want you to see how big he is. He's always right, he's always fair, he's always just. David's saying, you can trust him. When it comes to his judgments, one commentator I read, he said that his judgments are as deep as the ocean. As deep. God doesn't make shallow decisions or short-sighted plans. God sees to the bottom of every question. God sees to the bottom of every human heart. His judgments are deep. David's saying, look at the attributes of God. They're inexhaustible. For those of you who have been consumed with yourself, should that be you or maybe someone you know, this is my prayer for you, my prayer for them is awaken and see that God's heart is to save. It's like David shows us the depths of depravity and he's shooting us up and he's saying, open your eyes and see. The nature of God is to save. He is a saving God, both man and beast. The Bible shows us he is a God that cares for his creation and it's in his nature to save his creation. So if you think that you are unsavable, if you think you are unreachable, if you think you are unlovable, our tour guide here, David, who's taking us on this soaring journey to show us the attributes of God, he of all people knows that there is not anyone who is unsavable, there is no one who is unsearchable, the unreachable, and there is no one who is unlovable by God. David knows this by experience. He's saying, awaken and see the goodness of God. Open your eyes to see the steadfast love of God. His heart is to save his creation. So David, he's taken us up to the heights of God so that we can get a view of all of his attributes. And now it's at this point we start to see the tracks start to curve down. And we're starting to head back down, but don't worry, we're not going back to the depths. We're gonna go down and we're actually gonna go in, okay? We're gonna go into this mist, maybe the cloud, and we're going to see now, after seeing the attributes of God, he's gonna show us how those attributes actually play out to the benefit of those who live a life for God. Let's see practically how those attributes play out for those who live for God. So now we go to verse 7. David's gone from his head in the clouds to now this practical experience. He says, how precious is your steadfast love. This is a man who's experienced the steadfast love of God, and he says it's precious. How precious is your steadfast love, O God? The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. So now we're moving into the intimate knowledge and experience of God's steadfast love. From down low to up high to in. David's experience of steadfast love, he says, is precious. Have you ever been called out in a rainstorm before? I've been called out in a rainstorm before. And whenever you get called out in a rainstorm, I don't care how old you are, I've watched it, you try to run. I say you try to run because not everybody can run. And you may forget this until you get caught in a rainstorm. And then you're like, I'm gonna run. And then you start to run and you realize, I've forgotten how to run. My body's like four steps behind my mind here. I'm not able to run. Maybe it's just me. But always, you get caught in a rainstorm, man, you're running for refuge. Like you get into the shelter if you're between the car and the store. You're getting there. Those who know the steadfast love of God, they don't disregard him. But when they get caught in the rainstorm, man, they run to God. They run to him in their trouble. There's no question about it. It's just instinct. It's natural. Rain, storm, I'm running. Here we go. Our tendency can be to isolate sometimes when difficulties arrive and we try to figure out things on our own. But those who know the steadfast love of God, they're not too proud. Not too proud to begin to run, to aim for God, and to take refuge under his protection, under the shadows of his wing. Commentator James Johnston, I'm going to read, he says, the picture here is that of a hen hiding her chicks from danger under her feathers. She'll shelter her chick, even if she dies in the process. After napalm, which is this like gel substance that comes out of bombs or used in flamethrowers, it's a horrible weapon of war. He says, after napalm was dropped on Hiroshima, a gentleman returned home to find a hen scorched to death with her chicks still tucked safely beneath her wing. He was amazed to find that they were still alive. Johnston says, in the same way, God sacrifices himself to save us. He continues, this is what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. We deserve to die because of our sins, but God took on flesh and became a human being like you and me, the man Jesus Christ. Jesus had never sinned, and he did not deserve to die, but he went to the cross and he died in our place. He took the punishment that we deserve to shield us and protect us. Will you run to him for shelter, or will you stay outside and die? Close quote. Those who know God, run to him for refuge. One of my greatest memories growing up was being at my grandparents' house. And I hope that's a pleasant memory for you, should you have had a relationship with your grandparents. I had one with my grandparents. We went to their house most Friday nights, if not Saturday nights as well. And my grandparents had a bedroom where they essentially lived, a recliner on each side of the bed. And then the beds where my twin brother and I would sit. And we would watch TV all night. They liked to watch shows such as Alfred Hitchcock, Unsolved Mysteries, America's Most Wanted, the things you want to watch at 10, 11 o'clock at night as young children, you know? I mean, I just knew an alien was going to walk through that door any moment. I loved it though. But one thing about my grandparents' house, I called my grandma Granny, and my grandfather, his name, I called him Pop, is that the kitchen was always open, my grandparents' house. It was always open. You were always provided for, not only what you needed, but whatever you wanted. My Pop, next to his chair, had a dresser drawer that was full of the Little Debbie brownies because he chewed tobacco, and we wanted to act like we were chewing tobacco. This is not an endorsement to chew tobacco. And, you know, he had Tootsie Roll Pops. He had Juicy Fruit, always Juicy Fruit. And then my grandparents typically ate supper around 4 o'clock. And I don't know if it was for this reason, but every night at about 9, they would get hungry, and my granny would go to the kitchen and make her famous what we call granny burgers. The thing about Pop and Granny's house, the kitchen was always open. Anytime you could ask, the kitchen was always open. Here, verse 8. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. And the kitchen is always open. In verse 8, David tells how those who take refuge in God are satisfied with rich food. And it's not meager portions either. The kitchen's always open for those who take refuge in God. Not only is it always open, but those who take refuge in God, they have access to drinking from the river of his delights. I'll take that. I mean, we get excited about maybe my kids and me, we're the only ones who get excited about the freestyle Coke machine at Zaxby's. But there's no running out of syrup whenever it comes to drinking from what God provides for us. A river of his delights that we get to drink from. Verse 9, for with you is the fountain of life, and in your light do we see light. Again, commentator James Johnston says, it is hard to read this verse without thinking of the way the Apostle John described Jesus at the beginning of his gospel. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. That's from John 1:4. Jesus Christ is the source of all spiritual and physical life. Johnston says, he shines in the world to reveal truth and reality to us. Without him, we only hear the voice of sin whispering in our hearts. Remember that from the beginning? The things we thought were truth were really only darkness. But God struck a match and sent his son into the world. And when we recognize the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, when we realize that this man is God and he died for sinners, his light shines in our hearts and we see reality for the first time. His light is for you and his light is for me. I want you to see that depending fully on God brings full provision in God. It's the steadfast love of God. Remember the wicked? What do? They lie in bed at night, and they're just plotting more and more evil. They're never content, whether they realize it or not, never content. That's why they plot more and more evil. But the one who knows the steadfast love of God, they take shelter under the wings of God and are completely satisfied with what God provides. Once you see light through this light, the world, it will never look the same to you again. All of a sudden, you find that you are content. Those who take refuge under the shadow of his wings, they know the steadfast love of God, and they respond with David. We too will say, the steadfast love of God, isn't it precious? Man, the precious, steadfast love of God. Verses 10 through 11 say, oh, continue your steadfast love to those who know you. David now, he's shifting to a prayer. He's shifting, he's saying, oh, continue your steadfast love to those who know you and your righteousness to the upright of heart. Let not the foot of arrogance come upon me, nor the hand of the wicked drive me away. Those who take refuge in the shadow of his wings are the ones who are upright in heart. Not the wicked, upright in heart. They know that their full provision and protection will only come if they have their full dependence in the Lord. So they call out to him. They aren't afraid to ask, as David asked. We say it's only by you. We're not consumed with ourselves. We're not the hero. We're not the victim. We're not afraid to ask for help. It's only for you. We call out to him. And finally, verse 12, there the evildoers lie fallen. They're thrust down, unable to rise. Verse 12 is like a bit of a glimpse into the future where we get to see what awaits the wicked. We began with the wicked, and then we end with what will be the inevitable end for the wicked. If you do not reject evil, then your future is to lie fallen, thrust down, and unable to rise. Guys, this is a sober warning. This is a sober warning. Let it be just that, though. Let it be a warning. Let's not let that be a future reality. And by everything within your power, don't let it be the future reality of those you love who might have stopped rejecting evil. If you're hearing these words this morning, then know it is not too late for you to run and take shelter, to take shelter under the cover of his wings. Those who take refuge in the shadow of his wings, they know that living in dependence on God is the only way to provision and protection in God. But not the wicked. The wicked, we saw, they're so consumed with themselves that they have ignored God and they have become numb to God. But awaken. David says, look, open your eyes. We're now up here. Look and see. God's heart is to save. And there's only one way to live a satisfied life. David's like, let me show you. Let's go down and in and look at the satisfied life of living completely dependent on God. And if you're here this morning and you line up, though, with the wicked instead of with the upright, man, look at the steadfast love of God. And in these last verses, I want you to see it's not too late to take refuge in God. Pray. Pray, call out to God. He hears and he saves. Call out to him. James Montgomery Boyce, in a quote, he says, the words find refuge mean to flee for refuge, like a man guilty of manslaughter fleeing from the avenger of blood. They mean to flee with haste and intensity, stopping for nothing, until by the full thrust of our entire natures, we find safety and deliverance beneath the wings and in the unfailing mercy of Almighty God. He says that mercy is to be found in Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks. Sound familiar? Wonder what Jesus might have been thinking of. But you are not willing, Jesus says. The masses of Jesus' day, they missed this great blessing and perished. The masses missed them today, but you don't have to be one of them. Come to Jesus now. Come to Jesus now and begin enjoying his attributes. You've seen them, now go down and in. Take refuge in the shadow of his wings, under his full protection. Jesus, he said, I am the good shepherd. He will protect you. He will provide for you. Jesus will lead you. Today, you can enjoy the attributes of God. You can actually be satisfied. You can feast on the abundance of God's house. You can drink from the river of his delights. He says that he is the bread of life. Jesus invites you to come to him and to be satisfied and receive your nourishment. In his light, do we actually see life? Jesus says, I came so that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Jesus is our illumination. See the reaches of God's steadfast love this morning in this psalm. See, you're not unreachable. You're not unlovable. See the reaches of his steadfast love. Experience the preciousness of his steadfast love. Take refuge in God. Continue in his steadfast love, as David prayed. David described two types of people. Remember the wicked? They ignore God. They live for themselves. And the upright, who depend on God and they live for him. The upright, they're protected. They're provided for. The wicked will be defeated. You know there's only one right choice. Live in dependence on God. Experience the full satisfaction, the full provision. Experience the full protection of a life lived in full dependence on God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for saving us. Well, thank you for Jesus. Father, thank you for loving us so much that you sent him to live the perfect life we couldn't live, die the death we deserve. Oh, thank you for the resurrection so that we too will live eternally with you in heaven. Father, thank you for the satisfaction you provide now. Lord, thank you for the eternal satisfaction we will enjoy forever. Lord, should there be anyone, Lord, who's not living according to your ways, Father, may they awake. May they wake up, Lord, and see that you are a God, God of steadfast love, who hears and saves. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to audio from Grace Community Church, located in North Carolina. Feel free to make copies of this audio content to share with others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. For more information about Grace Community Church, go to graceccnc.org.